If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, what does that imply? Nothing else can make you free. There is no other way by which a human being can be made truly free. We spoke this morning in our Sunday school class about what the Jews in this discourse that we're about to look into were thinking, and what Jesus was thinking when he said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The Jews were thinking of political freedom and economic freedom. Can someone be truly free if they do not have spiritual freedom? No, they can't. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. So John chapter 8 then, we'll start reading in verse number 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They, the Jews, answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that you would give us clarity of thought, clarity of understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Freedom. Well, the first thing that we need to remember about freedom is that it is not free. Freedom is the most expensive commodity that the world has ever known, and that's why freedom is so scarce in this world. Look everywhere you will, you'll find true freedom in very few places. Let's look at Acts chapter 22, just to elucidate that point. Acts chapter 22. And we'll start reading in verse number 24. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 24. Now, the backdrop to this is that Paul has been accused by the Jews, and he's made an appeal to Caesar, but the Jews are attempting to persecute him and put him to death. Well, he's fallen into the hands of this chief captain that we'll see in verse number 24, who is a representative of the Roman government. So here we are. In verse number 24, "The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him." What was examination by scourging? Yes, they would beat the living daylights out of somebody in order to get them to tell the truth. I believe those techniques are still used today, but we call it torture today. In those days, they called it scourging. The chief captain wants to know, what caused all this ruckus? What's all this uproar about? Verse number 25. "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was born free. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Now, the Roman government, especially before the imperial system, guaranteed freedom to Roman citizens, but it was only political freedom and only economic freedom. That began to change as the Roman Empire came into view, but still, the Roman law said that if a Roman citizen was accused of a crime, he got to have his day in court. He got to represent himself. And so now this chief captain, who was formerly a slave, has bought his own freedom with a great price. And so he says to Paul in... Where was it? Verse 28, yeah. The chief captain says to Paul, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. Under the Roman system, if somebody was a slave, if they could come up with enough money, they could buy their freedom. So many slaves would serve in the Roman army and save all of their wages for many years. And then when the time came, they would buy their freedom from the government. And because they'd always been soldiers, now they could become officers. And they stayed in the Roman army, but they weren't slaves anymore. That's who this chief captain is. He bought his freedom from slavery, but it cost him a great price. And that's what he tells Paul. Verse number 28, And the chief captain answered, With great sum obtained I this freedom. Here's Paul's answer. Paul says, But I was born free. I was born free. Paul didn't have to pay for freedom. He was born free. What birth do you suppose Paul was talking about? His new birth. Because when he was born into the human race, he wasn't free. Remember what we read in John chapter 8? Whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. That's not freedom. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So Paul is talking about the new birth. He said, I was born free. You know, that says, Paul is saying, somebody else paid for my freedom. This captain said, I had to work to pay for my own freedom. And Paul said, somebody else paid for my freedom. But what kind of freedom was it? Now, this chief captain, he purchased his freedom, but was it true freedom? Look at verse number 29. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. They said, Uh-oh, this is a hot potato. And the chief captain also was afraid. He had fear. Why? Because he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Was this chief captain really free? No, he still feared the Roman government. Now he wasn't a slave of the Roman government. He had been set free from being a slave, but he's still a slave. He's still afraid of them. He wasn't really free. This is what religion is. all of the religions of the world try to take their good works and they're going to pay God to set them free. But it never sets you free because they still fear death. Religion cannot set you free. But Jesus Christ can make you free indeed. Christians should have no fear of death, and they should have no fear of what men will do to them. Because in the end, they might kill the body, but they can't touch the soul and the spirit. That freedom comes at a very great price. Freedom is not free. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Paul is reminding the church at Corinth of something which is important. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, in which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Freedom isn't free. Paul says, you are bought with a price. Verse number 29. What was that price?
A life.
A life for a life. We sang about nothing but the blood of Jesus a bit earlier. That was the price that had to be paid to purchase our freedom. Now, when you consider that this is the only begotten Son of God, that is a very high price. I think that shows how much God loves human beings, that he sent his own Son to take upon himself the form of a human being and suffer the death of the cross so his blood could pay the price for our freedom. For us, that freedom is free because he gives it to us. But for God, it was very expensive. It cost the price of his only begotten Son. Freedom isn't free. When we look at what America had to do to preserve its own freedoms, America has been at war with the world ever since America came into existence. And that war has always been primarily a spiritual war. In our war of independence against England, the pilgrims came to America to escape religious persecution, spiritual persecution. That's how our country started. They wanted to be free to worship God the way this book says we should worship God. It wasn't free for them. They crossed the Atlantic Ocean, that stormy ocean, in a small rickety boat, the first ones, that by all accounts never should have made the voyage, but by the grace of God, it did. And they planted in this new world a new country. The founding fathers paid a very great price to keep that freedom because the nation of England, we call it Great Britain today, they wanted to keep America as a colony And they wanted Americans to worship their king. They wanted America to worship God according to their opinion. And our founding fathers said, no, we will take the word of God and we will worship the way God says we should, not the way you say we should. And so the greatest army, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, went to war with this very small nation, with a very small army. And the greatest miracle happened. That small army defeated the greatest army on the face of the earth. I think they had some help. What do you think? Yes, it was the power of God. Freedom wasn't free for them. They went through a great deal of misery. Let's just jump ahead to the Second World War and think about that. Now we have a madman in Germany who is an atheist. He's anti-God. He wanted to kill all the Jews, and he wants to take over the world and enslave the entire world. His nation was very powerful. We also had the Japanese Empire that decided they wanted to rule the world. They had a very powerful military. In Europe, Hitler had overrun Europe, taken all of those countries captive, and he began to murder Christians and Jews. The first thing that he did. At that time, America is not doing anything. The Japanese Empire begins to murder all over Southeast Asia. They invade China. They invade Manchuria. They invade Burma. And they put the people to bitter bondage. God was not pleased with this. And he finally shook America and said, you know, unless America does something, the entire world will be enslaved, and maybe we will be next. What you may not know is Hitler was working on a nuclear weapon. If Hitler had started the war 4 or 5 years later, he would have had a nuclear weapon, and America would not have had a nuclear weapon. What do you think Hitler would do with a nuclear weapon if he had one? Of course, he would have enslaved the whole world, but I think God once again intervened. Because the Japanese went one step too far when they decided to invade Hawaii. This drew America into the war. America didn't want to fight. America was wrong. When there is evil, we must fight evil. America didn't want to do it because freedom isn't free. The Second World War cost America a very great deal. But it did the right thing. Because if America had not protected Asia and Europe from these marauding madmen, what do you think they would have done next? They would have come right here and invaded America. Doesn't that sound like God? If we will not come to help our friends and neighbors, then what good are we? But it cost a very great price. I suspect there are people sitting right in here that have lost family members in these wars. Freedom is not free. It costs a great price. Well, let's turn to Psalm number 20 next and look at another aspect of this. Psalm number 20. Freedom is very expensive. We call our Revolutionary War the War of Independence. Maybe that is not a good name. Maybe we should have called it the War of Dependence, because nobody in this world is independent. Everybody will depend on something. America depended on God. Psalm number 20 and verse number 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. If you stop and consider the example of World War II, Germany and Japan had very large and powerful militaries. America had a very small military. America was looking inward, not looking outward. America was vulnerable. But America was still a Christian nation then, and we said, we will trust in God. He will protect us. Hitler and his Nazis were trusting in their weapons. The Japanese Empire was trusting in their ships and their soldiers and their weapons. America still trusted in God. God did a miracle in this country. You know, Admiral Yamamoto was very wise. He was educated in America. And he told the emperor, you should not attack America. Well, the emperor decided, and it wasn't really the emperor, it was the Japanese military establishment, we'll attack America anyway. So after they did, Yamamoto said, I fear you have awakened a sleeping giant. This is going to turn around and bite you. But the Japanese military said, no, America is weak. They are defenseless. Now is the time to strike. God did a miracle in this country. America finally woke up. America finally said, you know, our friends and neighbors need us, and if we don't help them, pretty soon this trouble is going to come to us. They're trusting in their horses, they're trusting in their chariots, they're trusting in their war machine, but we're going to trust in our God. He did a miracle. America built factories. The people of America came together. And they worked in those factories, and they built airplanes, and they built ships. And everybody said, America, cannot take on the rest of the world. But they did, and they won. That also is a miracle. And the greatest miracle is Hitler was working on a nuclear weapon. The Japanese were working on biological weapons. They were working on chemical weapons, what we call today weapons of mass destruction. But who did God give the gift of a nuclear weapon to? Yes, who had it first? Einstein was a Jew that had to flee from Germany so he wouldn't be murdered. And he came to this country and came under the protection of this country. And God did another miracle. Sadly, America's turning away from that. Only God can give true freedom. Military power can make you economically free. Military power can make you politically free. But economic and military power cannot make the heart free. If the heart is not free, a man is not free. That freedom comes only from God. On the occasion of the ratification of the Constitution, a woman asked Benjamin Franklin, as he came out of chambers, "What kind of government did you give us?" And Franklin answered her, "A constitutional republic, if you can keep it. A constitutional republic, if you can keep it. If you can keep it." What's the only way to keep it? Put your faith and trust in God, because He's the only one that can really protect you. Now, we have in our Constitution a Second Amendment. It gives the right of every American citizen to own a gun. That's a good thing. A gun can stop someone else from harming you, but a gun cannot set your heart free. Only God can do that. And that's what Benjamin Franklin was talking about. If you can keep it, if America continues to be a Christian nation, God will protect America. But when God turns away from that, or when America turns away from God, God will turn away from America. And it will suffer a terrible consequence. There was a young Frenchman that came to watch America being born. His name was Lafayette. He was a French nobleman, a marquis, as a matter of fact. And he was curious, what are those Americans doing over there? I'm going to go try to find out. He wrote in his memoirs, "America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I don't think I need to tell you, America is ceasing to be good. America has forgotten the God that protected her. If you can keep it, turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you can keep it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Paul has a message for Christians. What is this message? In verse number 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul is telling Christian people and a Christian nation to stand fast in the liberty that God gives us and don't go back into the yoke of bondage. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we'll trust the Lord our God. Remember Benjamin Franklin said, "You have a constitutional republic if you can keep it." America's problem today is America wants to be like the rest of the world. All the world is talking about global warming. So American politicians, they want to be like all the nations. They forgot God made this a special nation. It's not supposed to be like all the rest of the nations. But now, American politicians, they want to copy the world. Oh, the world is worried about global warming. Maybe we should worry about global warming. Oh, it goes further than that. Global warming is not a spiritual problem. It's an economic problem, but it's not a spiritual problem. But you see, the rest of the world says, oh, we should make sodomy legal. Homosexuals, they're people too. The world wants to legalize gay marriage. God says homosexuality is an abomination in His sight. That's why 50 years ago, homosexuals were called perverts. They were called queers because they're out of the normal. The rest of the world says this is good. What are our politicians saying? It's the same thing. Some states have already legalized sodomite marriage. The Bible has a lot to say about sodomy. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of sodomy. I think that should be proof that God is not in favor of sodomy, but the rest of the world says it's a good thing. America's going along with it. What about abortion? The rest of the world says abortion, it's a good thing. We have to control the population. What does God say? Every human being is precious. He loves every human being. To murder a human being, and by the way, abortion is murder. It's premeditated murder. What's the penalty, God says, for a murderer? He should be put to death. The rest of the world says abortion is great. What's America saying? Oh, let's be like the rest of the world. Let's murder our children before they're born. Now what's it turning into? What was the objection to Obamacare? Obamacare would decide who is worthy to get medical treatment and who is not. Guess where old people fall? Why would you want to spend money to give medical care to old people? They're going to die anyway. They're not important. What do you think God thinks about that? First we murder the babies. Now we'll murder the old people. Who do you think is behind that? God or the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning. What had we better do? Maybe we should turn back to the old ways. Golauscher and I were speaking last night about China. Was China better, even under the dynasties, than they were under communism? Do you think Chinese people maybe are thinking today, maybe we should go back to the old ways because it was better than what we have today? Maybe America should do the same thing, have the same thoughts. Maybe we should go back. How long will we keep our freedom? Freedom is not a license to do sin and wickedness. Freedom requires responsibility. Sometimes responsibility says, we're not going to do what the world says. We're not going to do what somebody else says. We're going to do what our God says. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be accepted by the world. But I think it's better to be accepted by God than to be accepted by the world. Anyone who ever tries to do right, the world will hate. Anybody who wants to live by this book, the world will hate. Maybe we should get used to that. Maybe we should even celebrate that. Does that mean that we should go someplace else and force other people to be like us? This is another mistake that America is making. America's going on wars throughout all the world trying to impose our system on other countries. You can't impose God on people that do not want God. If we are going to meddle in the affairs of others, maybe we should send people to tell them that they can be free, but they have to make the decision, not try to use force. If you try to force your neighbor to live like you, then you become a tyrant. This is not acceptable in God's sight. God gives every person the freedom to choose Him or to reject Him. This is each person's freedom to do. Yes, we have a constitutional republic if we can keep it. Let's pray.